morning, let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the traditions which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But the labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we not be a burden to any one of you, not because we do not have this right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion, eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that we can come and gather as brothers and sisters. God, we just open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, God. Lord, Holy Spirit, will you guide me during this time? Will you just direct us, Lord? And we just invite you into this place with us. Amen. So as we finish 2 Thessalonians, which I've been going through mostly on Thursdays, just a reminder that 2 Thessalonians addresses three main subjects: hope despite persecution, the day of the Lord, and then chapter 3 focuses on idleness, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But we can start to see how Paul starts with encouragement, right? Oftentimes when someone is going, the real crux of this chapter is people not following the way of commandments. It's people being lazy. It's people not working, people maybe taking from the church, but Paul starts with encouragement. He reminds them that God is faithful. It is God who is the one to strengthen the church, and God will protect them from the work of the evil one, Satan. Right? And it's a great reminder that even when there's drama in the church, and we know that churches aren't perfect, right? I grew up with a mom who worked at a church, and that's what I was sharing with my, I had a sub in for Sunday school this Sunday, and then the teacher thought, let's have the kids ask P. Mary questions. So they asked me like 15 questions, and some were random, like, how often do you clean your own house? Or, how much toilet paper do you have in your house right now? I think that was my favorite question. And one was, why did you want to be a pastor? And I said, well, I never wanted to work at a church, partly because I saw what happened in the church. Right? But even in the mess of the church, we can remember that is God, right? Here, Paul is really trying to remind us that is God who works with us. He's the one that's with us. He protects us from the evil one, even when things come into the church itself. Or externally, right? Because chapter one is about persecution. And so they're being persecuted from the outside as well. And it is God that is with us. He reminds us that God is the one who directs our hearts, and we can turn to him when we're suffering, when we're going through hard times. Now, the reason why this passage is described as idleness is not necessarily because the people were being lazy. Though we may associate that word with being lazy, it's possible, but it's not necessarily what's going on here. And we see that Paul, this is just Paul continuing on a thought he had from 1 Thessalonians. You'll see part of it in 4:10 through 12 and also 5:14. I'm going to read 5:14 to you. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive and encourage the disheartened. Help the weak, be patient with everyone. And so it seems that though Paul's already warned them, this behavior hasn't changed. And so Paul is bringing it up again. And one person I was listening to different videos and reading, they basically said it seems as if it had gotten worse, right? Instead of getting better, this idleness was getting worse. And so there are three ideas on what was going on, why people were refusing to work. And so there are three thoughts, and the third thought stems from thought two, but I'm just going to run through. The first one, I don't really think this is what it is, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Thought one is connected to the previous problem that people thought Jesus would return soon, and so they decided to stop doing their normal lives and just be. Now, I don't really think that's what it is, but there was a few different people I read that said that is a very small possible thought. And so Paul might be reminding them, hey, the day Jesus is, you got to be faithful. You got to be continuing on in your work. Thought two is probably more likely where the root of the problem is coming, and whether that was direct or indirect was influencing the church. And this comes from a problem in the Roman culture of the time called patronage. And patronage is when there are poor people who may not have wanted to work. They're living in the cities, and they became what we would essentially consider a personal assistant to a wealthy person, but it wasn't like they were getting paid. Right, they would live off of occasional generosity from that wealthy person. And if you were going to become part of this arrangement, there were a lot of strings attached. You would be expected to be involved in this, whoever you're working for, living underneath their corrupt lifestyle. So basically, if they want a prostitute, they may ask you to go get it. If they were being corrupt in their living, you would be a part of that. And so this poor community that would live this sort of life would get dragged into the richer community's evil ways. It was unpredictable income, and it would have gone against what Paul was teaching. It would have gone against the word of God. And it connects to chapter 3:11. They are not working, and they are meddling in other people's business, other people's affairs. And so in that thought, it's connecting because they would be the ones out doing that work. So thought three comes in where it connects to thought one, is that because of this culture that was happening in Rome, people knew of the generosity of the church. They knew, like in Acts, we see that the people would sell their possessions and give to the poor, take care of the poor. And so this way of living, they would have come into the church not wanting to work, but living off of the benefits of the church, which connects to patronage, where they didn't have to actually work. It wasn't a real job. They would just do little things there, and there was no guarantee of money. And so this is another possibility, right? And so whatever it may be, the scripture doesn't fully tell us what the root issue is, but we know people are not working. You have some people in the church who are working, but then you have a group who's not working. They're not being productive members of society or within the church. They are lazy, and they basically are taking food from other people, right? Because Paul says, eat your own bread, which means they're eating other people's bread. Now, I've heard this verse used as a reason why people do not give to the poor. I have heard church people use, do not give money to the poor because then you're encouraging laziness. That's not what this is about, right? This is about people who are, what we don't know fully, right? But there's some sort of advantage being taken by the body here. People in the church. You know, my mom runs a food pantry out of our church in the States. And because they get government help, there's certain protocols they have to follow. And so they can't just give out whatever they want, whenever they want, however much they want to give to a person, Right? And so it's hard because you see someone come in and they need food, and yet you have to follow a standard. You can't give them everything in the food pantry that they desire. Right? They can't come day after day. And so you hear people talk, well, we're a church. We should just give as much as they need. And partly, you know, my mom's heart is that way, but because a lot of the food the government's using, they're giving to the church to give out, they do have to follow certain protocols. The government, otherwise, it's how we're getting some of the food to give away. And I was thinking about this in this terms, right? So often, we have this wonderful heart in the church to continue to give and give and give. But at what point is what we're giving actually becoming harmful to the people we're supporting? And it's learning that balance. So though this verse is definitely not about us using it as an excuse not to give to the poor, we should. You know, there's so much scripture about that. We have to remember, we can't just continually feed the people who are coming and trying to take. And there's that balance, right? There's a balance. And you can see it, you know, this at Christmas, we give away Christmas food for Christmas. And so my church at home has an English service and a basic English service, which has many refugees or people who have lower income bracket, who come from all, you know, people from all over the world. And we had a lot of food left. And trying to explain, they couldn't just take everything, they had to share. Most understood, and you could see that the leaders of this group knew which people just wanted to take for themselves instead of knowing the benefit for the whole body, right? And it was very small people. Like, most people were really good. Like, they were taking boxes and giving it out to people who already left, and it's not a negative thing at all. It was actually mostly beautiful, but you had just one or two. My favorite was the person who came in who has lots of money and flew in the night before. Is like, oh, I didn't have stuff in my fridge. I should just take it instead of going to the store. That really irked me. I was like, just go to the store and buy your own food. Why are you taking it from this group of people? Right? But here we need to remember to not be lazy. We need to not expect that others are going to provide for us when we don't need them to. There's a difference when you're out of work, when you're struggling, versus you just don't want to do something. Paul uses his own life as an example, right? Paul uses his own life. He points to his own life, but eventually points to Jesus. And Paul does this frequently. Paul will look at my life as it looks like Jesus's life, essentially, right? And you see in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about not taking money from the people as well. And he talks about this other places. And Paul had the right to. Paul has the right to ask for support. He's serving them. This would have been common practice that they could have taken money. But to set an example so no one could use him as an excuse not to believe, to have a block in their relationship with God, Paul chooses not to take. He chooses to work. He chooses to take a job. You know, and as a leader, that's something that I continually have to remind myself. It's very easy to receive and to do things. But is what I'm doing going to be a stumbling block to my brothers and sisters? You know, it's very easy. Like drinking, I could drink alcohol in front of certain people, but is that a stumbling block to them? Is my right to drink more important to them not stumbling? You know, my right to, this is a silly example, but have a really nice meal going to stumble somebody? You know, now I hope in a maturing church that wouldn't be a problem, but as a leader, I need to always be thinking, is what I'm doing causing someone to stumble? And here Paul is saying, look at my life. I chose not to take money. I chose to work to be an example. To be an example to you all. Are we being an example to those around us? Are we willing to sacrifice something in our life, whether you're a leader or not, so that somebody else can see how we imitate Jesus? Are we willing to give up things of the world that maybe isn't unbiblical, but it's not helpful to edifying and building up each other? And that's something I think about frequently. You know, is my behavior not, am I perfect? No, I make a lot of those kind of mistakes. Sometimes I give in and I want to just have my rights. Especially as an American, we're all about our rights. Freedom of speech, freedom of this, all sorts of freedoms, right? But is it really helpful, right? And so he's talking to this church being like, hey, work. Look at me, right? But he ultimately points to Jesus, right? It's not about just Paul. Actually, I was at a conference once, and the people on stage, and these are big known names, I won't say who they are, people that we as a church know personally, one or two have come into our church to preach, and great people of God, but they said something to this day that bothers me. They said, build on my shoulders, and that's it. They stopped short of saying, as Jesus did. They're basically, look at my life like Paul does, but they never brought in Jesus. They never connected Jesus to the picture. It was all about their life. Now, I know I've watched and listened and heard them again, and they've pointed to Jesus. But in that one moment, and it has never left me, that they did not connect their life to Jesus. And here Paul is making very clear that he's not just saying, walk as I walk. Say, walk as I walk, as I walk like Jesus. Follow Jesus. He is our ultimate example. You know, like we can say, and we should follow P. Sam, but ultimately how he is following Jesus. You know, your house church leaders, the same thing. Right? Though we should follow the godly examples around us, are we following and following Jesus alone? And that's the heart. Because yes, if we're following those godly leaders, but it's the example that Jesus is in them that we are following. And then his final section is on prayer. He always ends, each section in this book is ended in a prayer. And he asked that God would grant them peace, through the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Paul desires for them to have peace in all circumstances, right? No matter what they're going through, he really desires for them to have peace. You know, and I was reading back through and I was like, I'm not really, clearly there must be some sort of internal struggle going on, right? And you're looking throughout this book, right? They're being persecuted. They're being harmed. They are worried about the end times. They're worried that Jesus is coming or that they've missed him. And here you have people who are just taking advantage. No matter what the circumstances is, do we have peace? You know, and this morning I really want us to think about, do we have peace in God? You know, are we getting frustrated at people who are just, it's not a nice word, but it's the only thing coming to mind, bottom feeders, always just trying to take. Are we getting frustrated? Do we have peace? Right, and we're not called to let that be. You know, he says, treat them like brothers. Don't treat them like the enemy, but you are allowed to separate yourself. You know, there is a separation that's allowed. You don't have to continually be building into these relationships, but the point of that separation isn't to ignore them. It's so that they will hopefully change and come back, right? But are you living in peace this morning? You know, this book helps us see that the early Christians' belief in Jesus to return and hope of final judgment were not meant for generational speculation or apocalyptic timelines. Rather, these beliefs brought hope that inspired faithfulness and devotion to Jesus, especially to the persecuted Christians. And then the real final point of this book is, what you hope for shapes what you live for. What your hope is in is how you will live your life, how you will have focus. So as I ask the worship team to come up, I really want you to think this morning, are you that person who's just coming and expecting to be fed but aren't giving anything? Are you being potentially lazy in the church, expecting others to do the work for you? Maybe not food. It may not be tangible food that you're receiving, but it's you are benefiting off the body of Christ and don't see the need for you to participate in that. Or are you in fear this morning from something? If you are in fear of something this morning, if you don't have peace, maybe it's not quite fear, but maybe it's not full peace. You know, spend some time asking God, why do you not have peace in that area of your life? Ask him to come in, right? It talks about Jesus being the one that comes, God being the one that comes in to shape our lives. It's Him that guides our heart. You know, and so if you're having any inner conflict, talk with God this morning and think about what you live for. Is your hope in Jesus or is it something else today? So let's just really spend some time worshiping God and asking Him. This morning, let's just really meditate on the faithfulness of God. This morning, you know, can we see how God has been faithfully working day after day in our life? That He is who we can put our hope in. That He is who we can put our trust in to guide and lead us this morning. So I'm just going to ask them just to sing over us a little longer, and let's just spend some time meditating on that.
Laid down so
just give thanks to God for all the goodness He has given us in our life. Let's thank God for all the things that we can trust in Him for, and even those areas that we're not right now. Let's just in faith declare that we can trust God in those areas, and let's just continue to pour out our thankfulness to Him this morning. Turn to our prayer slides. Let's pray for those who are suffering from various cancers and treatments. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to come into their life. Let's lift up those who are sick but also need to meet Jesus. Let's just pray for our divine encounters with God today, this week. And let's just pray for healing to take place in their life. Pray for those who are suffering from other infirmities. Let's just pray that they can see God's faithfulness in their life. And let's just pray that they can just place their hope in God, even in these different circumstances. For those who are looking for jobs, let's just pray for God's continued provision in their life, and let's just pray that God will direct their path to where He's taking them. Pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray for the wealth gap, revival, the churches in this city, Sports Service International, Shanti, YWAM Toon Moon, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's also lift up all the parents who are now homeschool parents. Let's just pray that they will be able just to help their kids learn. Let's pray for the kids as they are also at home during this time, that they will just really be able to stay focused, but also not go crazy as well. So let's just really just pray for the city. Let's pray for protection in this time. Let's Let's also lift up teachers. Teachers are doing a lot more work than they were doing before, actually, a lot of my friends. And so let's just pray that God will continue to show them how to teach, how to interact with their students during this time. Lift up our staff. Let's just pray for each member. Let's pray that we'll just stay united and connected during this time. And let's just continue to lift up PSAM as he leads our church. Lift up our hospitality teams, welcoming, which is led by P. Andrew and barista by Ashley. Let's just pray that they can just really have no fear as they're encountering people during this time. Well, let them be completely just filled with God's presence as they are welcoming and ushering people into our church. And let's pray for P. Andrew and Ashley to have wisdom how to guide these teams. Let's lift up our worship, sound, and AV teams led by P. Nate, Conrad, and Pastor Kenny. Let's just really pray that God will just continue to use these three teams to really bring us into a place of true worship. Let's pray that each member will be worshiping God in their own as well. And let's just continue to pray that this church will be known as a place of true worship unto God. Lift up our house churches meeting tonight. First Street, Fontana, Garden, House to House, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lido, OPR, Princeton, and Soho. Let's just pray that God will just really just speak to the leaders through the leaders, that God will just unify these different house churches, these different families. And let's just pray that God will just bring such great fellowship tonight. If we can just lift up our anniversary weekend, it's coming up on Friday. Let's just pray for our speaker. Let's just pray that we can really just honor God as we celebrate 17 years of God's faithfulness in this church. So God, we just thank you for your goodness, God. We just thank you that we can place our hope in you, God. We pray, Lord, that our lives will be a reflection of the hope we have in you. God, help us just to see where you're working and where we can join you today, this week. God, Lord, may we just walk in faith, God, not in fear, Lord, that we know that your Spirit is guiding, leading, and protecting us, Lord. God, we just pray that today we can just glorify you in all that we do. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time.